Please be seated. Welcome, Sir Margaret. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for coming. It's always, as I said last week to the congregation, a relief when people come back after Christmas. There's always the fear that you might have forgotten me and your lives will have moved on in a much more exciting spiritual direction. So it's great. I mean, I'm sure they have moved on in a more exciting direction. So I'm rapidly realizing what I was saying, but it is great to see you and thank you for coming. May I read you a few verses from Joshua chapter 3 on page 207 in the Bibles. Joshua chapter 3, page 207, and we're beginning to read from verse 2. Joshua 3 and beginning to read verse 2. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among us. There probably, if we're honest, has been only one real piece of news over the last few weeks. And even I noticed at the weekend how the tone of the debate hardened and the vocabulary used reflected that. In the run-up to yesterday's debate in Parliament and the vote that went with it, words like historic and crucial and momentous, uncharted territory and chaos were being used in newspapers, on websites and on the television. And there's a similar feel to the events of the day we read about in Joshua chapter 3. You've never been this way before. We read in the second part of verse 4. And given the massive journey that they had been on, that was quite a statement. For the people of God were coming to the end of a 40-year journey, which had started when they'd left Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And now all that was left was for them to cross the Jordan, and they would have reached their goal, the place that God had prepared for them. And as they got ready that day, they were given two instructions. The first is in the second part of verse three, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. They needed to keep their eyes firmly fixed on the Ark, the symbol of God's presence with them. At this point, they needed to get it right. The climax of the journey, going to a place where they'd never been before, and that meant focusing on where God was leading them. The second instruction is in verse 5. Consecrate yourselves, Joshua said. They'd learned over the decades that holiness was particularly important if they were going to be effective partners with God in all that he was doing. Of course, for us, 2019 is a place where we've never been before. It's a new year. Naturally, there's much in our business that is as usual. We are probably still doing the same job, still doing the same commute. But actually, we haven't been here before. And in God's economy, this is a new time. And he calls us to be in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. That involves two qualities which reflect the ones that were God's agenda for his people all those years ago. The first is a call to be attentive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Joshua's contemporaries focused on the priests and on the ark. Our call is more subtle. We need to be those who are wanting intentionally to understand what the Holy Spirit is doing, on where God is at work in our situations here in the city, and how he sees our part in his plan. I was talking to a member of the congregation on Monday at the morning prayer meeting, just to give that a quick advertisement. And she was telling me she brought quite a few of her colleagues to the carol service and discovered that there were other Christians in her world. There was one person who actually she didn't really like very much, and she'd been in the team with him once, a team with him some time ago. And the two of them met before Christmas and thought, wouldn't it be a good idea in this large financial institution to pray, to kind of gather the Christians, to pray together? So they sent out a note to people they knew, booked a meeting room, and the first week they had eight people coming to pray. It was remarkable. They'd both been there for several years. They'd never thought of anything like that. Since then, others have heard, and next Tuesday when they meet, they're meeting fortnightly, they expect 22 people to turn up to pray. And all that happened because two people realized what God was doing in their situation in the city and wanted to get on board with his plan in this new thing. They'd never been this way before. They were attentive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We need to be attentive, and we need to be honest too. Honest about what needs to change in our lives. For the people we read about, there were ceremonies so that they could go through in order to become ritually clean. The Lord Jesus' agenda for you and me is rather different. And the key is not desperately trying to be holy. In my experience, that never lasts. We get sidetracked, distracted, and we make mistakes and fail. It's taking the time to pray and hear how he wants us to change. It's being willing to be honest with him about our lives. This morning, because I thought I ought to practice what I preach, it's an odd habit I have, I just thought, now, Lord Jesus, I want you to be totally honest with me. What would you like to see change in my life? And I sat back and felt, I wonder what he'll say. Very interesting. Quick as a flash, something came into my mind. Something I hadn't thought about. It wasn't a terrible sin, I'm glad to say. But it was something that I'd become a bit lazy about and which needed to change. I asked him, I wanted him to be honest, and in a rather unsettling way, he was exactly that. Attentive and honest. That's what we're to seek. And God's promise, as we saw at the end of that reading in verse 5, that as we do that, he'll do amazing things among us. And I thought about that, and I thought, Lord Jesus, that could be such a cliche. But I suddenly realized I was actually increasingly desperate that God would do amazing things in this place, amazing things that would seep out into the city, amazing things like those group of people meeting to pray in that large office close to here, because they realized that was God's agenda in this new time.